So today, that's what we're going to talk about. I just, you know, as we talk about launching in this year, I just feel that we need to talk about friendship, being a friend, and showing yourself friendly. Because if you want friends, you've got to be friendly, right? That's what the Bible says. Show yourself friendly. Step out of who you are. Because sometimes, man, you know, we don't like to meet people. It's hard. You know, to meet people at times. I know that, you know, it used to be that way for me. See, because until I got connected with God, I was pretty quiet. Delana's like, yeah, you were. You know, I didn't have a lot to say. I just relaxed. I laughed a lot, played a lot, you know. But I tell you, the Lord really woke up my spirit. Then I wanted to really connect with people. And I believe God is calling us, not only as a church, but as each individual, to step out of who we are and into who God has called us to be friends. Amen? We need friends. How many of you know we need friends? It's in my message that what did God say? It's not good for man to be alone. It's not just about being married. It's not good to be alone. We need each other. Amen? We need each other. I need you. You need me. We need each other. Amen. We walk hand in hand together. When it says to prophesy in the Bible, I'll get to my message in a minute. But when it says to prophesy, it's talking about that we need to be able to come alongside each other, that we need to be able to lock arms with each other. We need to help each other get what we're supposed to be. And you know, and that's difficult for two things. What makes that difficult to lock arms with somebody and to walk them through is, number one, we don't want people to know what we're going through, so we don't want to lock arms. We refrain because, well, if they find out I'm going through this, then they may not want me in the church. They may not want me around. So that's the number one problem with locking arms. What was number two? It was there just a second ago. Man. Yeah, I already said that. What does leak at number one? If it comes back to me during my message, praise God. But you know, we've got to allow people in. You know, I've said this before, but so many times we walk around like this. Hey, Rob, how you doing, man? Give me a hug. I don't want you to get any closer than that. If you get any closer, if I go like this, you might be able to get too close, and you might know what's going on in my life. And man, if you found out what's going on in my life, you know, you might not want to be my friend. So we do. We walk around like that. And we're secretive, and we run in and run out of church. You know, if they know what we're going through, then, oh, see, and that's what happens. And we've got to learn to, you know, like even in marriage, if I walk around like this with Delana, I'm not going to touch your hair, I promise. Then we can't get close. And God wants us to be close. He wants us to buddy up. He wants us to rub shoulders with each other. He wants us to lock arms with each other so that we can encourage one another. How many of you ever need encouragement? See, that's what God's calling us, encourage. How many of you go through tough times? Man, who doesn't? Who doesn't go through tough times? Everybody's going through tough times. We could talk about finances for a while, but relationships. Amanda shared she lost her dad 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. It's tough. That's tough. I lost my mom in January. It was tough. I had to get on a plane to go to Africa the next day. It was hard. See, tough things happen in this life. We know that. And so that's why we need each other because, you know, you guys all encourage me all the time. I am so blessed to have you guys as my friends to say, you know, to bless me. I mean, when I see Jake, man, Jake makes me feel like I'm GQ kind of guy, you know? I know I'm not, but man, I feel like it when I'm around him because he builds me up. He's like, Pastor, man, you look so good. You look so sharp, man. You're the bomb, man. You need to be on the cover of a magazine. I'm like, yeah! Well, that's kind of what my friend makes me feel about myself, amen? We need friends. So let's read it today. Where are we at? Luke chapter 5, verse 17 through 26. It says, why don't you stand with me? We'll read it together. I'll read, you listen. Jesus forgives and heals a paralytic. Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring and lay before him, which is Jesus. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling in the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to him, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Remember, Jesus is God, that's why. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or 'Rise up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he'd been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed. They glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." And dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you today with your word, I pray that, Lord, that we would see strange things today. That, Lord, that you would be in our midst. We know you're in our midst. But, Lord, you would move amongst us today and touch every one of us, giving us an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying, Lord, that we could have understanding of your word, that we could receive it into our hearts, and it would cause action in our lives. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. You know, as I was reading that, you know, at the end it says, "We've seen strange things today." I saw a movie one time about this very scene, and they portrayed in the movie that it was at Peter's house. And, you know, Peter was kind of an excitable guy, and that when they started tearing back his roof, he got a little freaked out. How many of you would get freaked out if somebody was tearing back your roof? I mean, it doesn't matter what kind of roof you got. If somebody started ripping into that ceiling right now, I'd be a little upset. I'd be like, "Come on, man. Somebody get out of the way and make a way," you know? But these friends knew that if we can get him to Jesus, he'll be okay. And they were willing to tear apart the roof and lower him down through it to get there. Now, how many of you have ever had a friend that helped you to get through to a place of victory? How many of you ever had a friend like that that helped you to get to a place? Amen. That's great. Fantastic. Now, what God would tell you, and I believe this by the Spirit of the Lord, he would tell you, be that friend. Be that friend. Be the one that goes out and brings somebody to victory. Amen. You know, but in the book of John, it tells a different story. It tells a story of a man who wanted to get into the water, who wanted to be healed, but couldn't get there. Didn't have the strength to get there. And he didn't have anybody to help him get there. I'm going to read it to you. It's in John chapter 5, verse 1. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool. Hebrew Bethsaida, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down on a certain time in the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he'd already been in that condition a long time, and I believe it's a twofold thing there, that Jesus knew he'd been there a long time. Number one, Jesus always went up for the temple. I mean, it was every year they went to the temple, so every year as Jesus was being raised up, they probably walked by there and went, "That guy's here every year. That poor guy, he's here every year." And now Jesus is walking up there, and he knows he's got the healing power of God inside of him, and he walks up and he sees this man and he says, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no man. Everybody say, no man. To put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. Immediately he was made well. And he took up his bed and walked. You know, as I look at these two stories, friends letting the guy down and one guy not having any friends to get him into the water. There's two differences. But there's some common denominators in these stories that I want to look at today. And the number one common denominator I want to look at is we need Jesus. Jesus was the thing in both stories. Jesus was the healer in both stories. Jesus is our healer. Isaiah 53, it declares, by his stripes we are healed. So he is our healer, amen? I know he has healed me of things, and I know many people, Dawn and I, have seen so many miracles. I mean, it's amazing the miracles. But you know, we see most of our miracles in foreign countries, which is kind of crazy. You know, like when we go to China, we're going to China next month for, I think we're 11 days, you said, we'll be gone. So for 11 days, and we go in and we minister to house church leaders in the underground church. But it's their faith just brings an atmosphere of miracles. That's all I can say. Their faith causes miracles to happen. It's incredible the amount of miracles, the healings. I mean, we've seen deaf ears open. I mean, Delonda was praying for people one time. We were in this area where a lot of people had emphysema, you know, but they don't get to walk around with an oxygen tank and stuff because that stuff's not available. You know, they don't have the insurance. What they have is you pay us, we'll give to you. That's how it works there. You pay before for services rendered in medical. So Delonda laying her hands on lady's chest, and the you could feel it leave their body. Just that congestion in their lungs leaving. It's incredible when you see that, those miracles. So we know that God has done miracles. The miracles that we've seen even in this house happen. The miracles today that you've experienced that God is doing. Amen. We need Jesus. He took all of our infirmities to the cross. You know, but the thing of it is we've got to connect with Jesus. We've got to know him. We've got to be in fellowship with him. We can't just say, I know Jesus or know about Jesus. We have to know him. We have to have a relationship with him. And it's really important because there was a man that was with Jesus and his name was Judas. How many have ever heard of Judas? I mean, you cannot come to church your whole life and hear about Judas, you know, because Judas is the one that betrayed Jesus. But he was with Jesus for 3 years. He was trained by Jesus. He saw the miracles. He handled all the money. He was a treasurer of the group. He handled all the finances for Jesus. He was the bookkeeper. He was a guy. And they're at the Last Supper, and Jesus says, okay, one of you is going to betray me. And they're like, what? He's like, one of you is going to betray me tonight. And they're like, well, who is it? Is it Jana? Is it Delonda? Is it Holly? Is it Rob? Is it Terry? Is it Kathy? I mean, that's what they're doing at the table. Like, is it you, John? Is it you, Matthew? Is it you, Peter? Or, you know, and they're looking in, and then they tell John, because John was leaning against Jesus, and they said, hey, ask him who it is. So John says, who is it? And he says, the man that takes the next piece of bread. So the guy that took the next piece of bread was Judas. And when he took the bread, it doesn't say that he ate the bread. But he took the bread, and then he got up immediately, and he went to betray Jesus. And I heard this with John Harkey last Sunday night. He said, when we take the bread and we don't do it, it brings no life. See, when we take of the bread, because Jesus said, I am the bread of life. In John 1:1, he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Jesus is the Word of God, amen? He is the bread of life. But when we take of the bread, when we read it, and we say, okay, hey, you know, we're going through it, and we're reading it, but we don't apply it, Jesus says, hey, love your neighbor as yourself. And you go, oh, wow, okay, that's great. And then we go out, and we're mean-spirited to people. We've not eaten of the bread. We've not partake of who Jesus in us. So we've got to learn to eat the bread and be connected to Christ. Amen? To read the word, take it in, and apply it to our lives. I have to love my neighbor. Amen? I can't not I can't not love my neighbor. I have to love my neighbor because he first loved me. Amen? That's the plan. We have to love. So I've got to stay connected to Jesus. I've got to eat the word, the written word in my life, and I've got to apply it. Because we need a friend like Jesus, amen? There is no one greater than the Lord. And to have him as a friend, I just, as we've been reading the book of Genesis, he says, hey, should we stop and tell our friend Abraham what we're going to do? Yeah, let's do that. Let's tell Abraham what's going on. And he said, hey, Abraham, I just want you to know that we're going to go and we're going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because there's a sinful cry coming up out of that place. And Abraham pleaded with him, well, Lord, for 50 people, righteous people, would you not destroy it? The Lord said, okay. He took him all the way down. He said, well, what if there's just 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah? Would you not destroy it? And the Lord said, okay, for 10, I won't destroy it. I know there's more than 10 in America today, amen? There's more than 10 righteous people in Corona. So that's what I'm counting on, that he's not going to destroy the righteous with the wicked, amen, in Corona. But he called Abraham his friend. And there's other passages throughout the Bible that declares Abraham was a friend of God. How many of you are a friend of God today? You know you're a friend with him. That's great, because when we have communion with him, we're friends with him. When we're eating of the bread, we're a friend of God. Amen? And then number two, you know, not only a friend, but we've got the other thing that was there was faith. The first thing that Jesus saw when he saw the friends bringing that man through the roof is he saw faith. I see faith on you guys. And then the first thing he did was he said, your sins be forgiven you. But he saw faith. And that man that was laying by the pool, he had faith that if he could get in the water, something was going to happen. And with their faith, those four guys, faith brought about an action. It brought about an action. We need to get our friend in front of Jesus. And I want to encourage you today that your faith do that same action. That you need desperately to get your friends in front of Jesus. That you go out of your way to get your friends in front of Jesus. Whether it's leading them to the Lord at your home, it's bringing them to the church and making me do it, or giving me that opportunity, or however you got to do it, you've got to become desperate for your friends. Amen. They were desperate. They were probably tired of dragging that guy around. They're like, oh, if we could get him in front of Jesus, man, that guy's going to get healed. And then they got there and it's like, oh, man, we can't even get in. All right, let's go on the roof. Look, we got to get it. We got to get this guy. Let's get on the roof. Come on, he can't stay this way. And they took him to the roof. And they got him healed. It was their faith that got him healed. And then it takes us into the next common denominator, friends. God is intent on using people. We are his chosen vessels to be used of him. He's not looking for the president to save America. I vote, okay? But a president isn't. Whoever's president is not going to make America great again. No president is going to sink America in the toilet. It's going to be if my people who are called by my name do something. Pray, turn from their wicked ways. Then he'll hear from heaven and he'll hear the land. That's what the church has to do. That's our responsibility. But I do vote, amen? But I try and vote. I try to find a guy that's as close to the Bible as possible. There's not many guys like that around these days, huh? But we need friends. And last week I talked about that our compassion should turn to action. And, you know, when Compassion International was here, as a whole, with the community and everything, 80 children were sponsored last weekend. So 80 children got sponsored. Yeah, amen. It's great. But this guy, 38 years he laid there. And I got a few observations about that situation. Number one, somebody had to bring him to the pool every day and leave him there. Now I can imagine with all the people that was there that you had to get there early to get a good spot. You know, if you wanted the seat by the water, you had to get there early. If you wanted to be able to get in the water without a lot of help, you had to get there early to get that spot, because somebody else was going to get. So his friends, whoever brought him to that pool, didn't care enough about him to put him in a position to get him in the water. His friends were only doing a halfway job. It's like, okay, you know, we'll get you there, but you got to do it on your own. You know, how many of you ever heard this? You know, God helps them who helps themselves. Does it say that in the Bible? No. But we feel it. You know why we say that? Because when you're working hard and you're doing and you're going, and then somebody that's not doing and going, you say, well, you know what? If you do like me, you'll be okay. But sometimes people just need a breakthrough, amen? This guy was stuck for 38 years without a friend to get him in the water. He said, do you want to be healed? And the first thing he says, man, I don't have a friend. I don't have anybody to help me in the water. Oh, 38 years. There's probably people in this room right now that need a friend really bad. They just need somebody to come alongside and say, how's it going? Next. They brought him to the water, but number two, no friends stuck by him long enough to see it through. You know, sometimes we, you know, you bring them, but then, you know, like I said, we leave them to themselves. And they need encouragement. They need to help to get in the water. They need to help to get over the wall. And then third, he had a desire, but sometimes you need someone to stand with you in your desire. Sometimes you need someone to come alongside and say, you know what, I see that you want to be made whole, and I'm going to help you. You know, because just coming to Jesus, oh man, coming to Jesus is everything. But from there, we need help. From there, we need somebody to encourage us in the things of God. From there, we need somebody to explain to us. I mean, even the guy that was riding in the chariot, evangelist Philip was running alongside. He says, hey, I hear you're reading the book of Isaiah. The guy goes, yeah, I'm reading it, but I don't understand it. And I have no one to explain it to me. He says, well, let me explain it to you. How many of you have ever read the Bible and didn't understand it? Wow, see, we need people to come alongside and explain it. Amen. And that's what God is calling. We need to be friends. And that guy didn't have a friend. He didn't have anybody that would follow through with him to get him, to stand by him, to say, oh, here comes the water. Man, I see a ripple. Come on, and drag him to the water. I mean, as soon as you see a ripple, it's like, oh, here comes the angel. Let's go. Oh, false alarm. Oh, get out of the water. You know, then you drag him back out of the water, whatever. But, you know, if you got a friend there with you, you got a chance, amen? If you got somebody that stands by you. And I know at times it's hard. It's hard to stand by people because you feel like, man, they're not trying. They're not helping themselves. You know, they got to help themselves. And it's true, they do, but sometimes we just got to drag them with us. I told First Service, man, do you love people enough to drag them to church? I'm strategizing how I can get my sister here, man. I am. I'm like, hey, we got a petting zoo on Palm Sunday. Your kids would love the petting zoo. It's after second service. You should come, bring your kids, go to the petting zoo. We're going to have a lot of animals, and the kids are going to minister to us. Bring your kids on Palm Sunday. I'll do whatever it takes. On Father's Day, you know, Mother's Day, you need to be like this, moms. Instead of, you know, I hear this a lot. I hear this a lot. And if you said it, I'm sorry. I don't agree with it. Well, you know, my kids don't go to church, so they really wanted to spend Mother's Day with me, so I went with them, and I did my thing with my kids on Mother's Day. Same thing happens on Father's Day, that kids say, come on, Dad, let's go do this, and they take Dad. This is where you got to put your foot down and say, nope. It would really bless me, moms, if you said this to your kids, they would listen. It would really bless me if you came with me to church, and you met my pastor, and then we could go and we could have a great lunch together. If you did that on Mother's Day, your kids would be like, ah. Oh. All right. You got to drag them. You know, I mean, they're cutting open the roof to get this guy in front of Jesus. We need each other. Amen. We need friends. I want to show you a short clip about friends. Let it play. No one can make it over the wall by themselves. They all needed a friend, amen? They all needed somebody to get them over the wall. And the other thing, no one got left behind. Down to the last man, no one got left behind. They had to pull him up, all his weight, up and over. And they did it. And sometimes, that's the kind of friend we need to be. We need to be willing to reach out and pull a friend up over the wall. We need to be that guy, down to the very last person, to get him up and help him over the wall. Amen? In this day, in this hour, you've probably lost some friends, you know, because they've gone their own way. They're doing their own thing. They don't want to be connected with you or the church. They don't want to come to church. And they've gotten caught up in things where they're not around you. But sometimes we need to ask for help too. Amen? Because, you know, we come to church, and everybody smiles, and we all look good at church, and we don't know everything, do we? We don't know if you're battling. We don't know what you're going through. Sometimes you need to learn, if you're going to be a friend, to ask for help, amen? I know we hate asking for help. We hate putting people out. Delonda, I always tell her, I said, hey, just call somebody, see if they'll help you out. She, well, you know, I hate to just put people out. I'm like, hey, it's either you or everybody, you know? Come on, ask for help. We need to ask for help. You got to be saying, you know what, I'm in a battle. I need help. I need somebody to come and stand alongside me. Amen? But we tend to separate. We tend to stay to ourselves when we're going through stuff. And that's a lie that the devil puts on us. Let me tell you that right now. Because this is what the devil tell you. You know, it'd be better off if you just stayed home for a while and just be by yourself with the Lord. You can do this, just you and the Lord. That's a lie. You need us. We need you. Because when you stay home, then it means that something's not happening. See, because I believe the body is a whole, Pastor Jesse. I believe that we need each other so much so that if I'm the shoulder and you're the hand in this church, if I'm not here, then you're disconnected. I mean, I know you're going to preach coming up, and I won't be here, but I'll be doing what God's called me to do in China, and you'll be filling in here doing what God's called you to do. So when we do that, we know we're right where we're supposed to be. It's important, but if we're disjointed, you know, if your elbow's disjointed, it brings a pain. And when we're not connected together, it brings a disjointedness. We need to connect together. We need each other. We need to encourage each other. We need to build each other up. How many of you sinned this week? Sinners? No. I did too. See, that's why we need each other. Because, man, for all have sinned and we fall short. We fall short. So we need to be able to come together and say, man, I fell short. Be forgiven. Amen? Somebody asked me this last week. They said, hey, Pastor, you talked about being born again. What does being born again mean? I said, well, it means to believe in Jesus. I said, do you believe that he died for you? He said, yeah. I said, do you believe that he rose from the dead? He said, yeah. I said, do you believe he's in heaven right now? I said, yeah. He said, yeah. I said, do you believe that your sins are forgiven? He said, well, yeah. I said, then you're born again. He's like, really? I said, yeah. Ain't it great? He said, yeah. It is. It's great to know all my sins are forgiven. Amen? That everything I've ever done, he's forgiven me. But sometimes somebody needs to tell you, Johnny, your sins are forgiven you. We need to know. We need to know that when we believe in Jesus, man, bam, our sins are gone. But like Delonda said, today the enemy tries to remind you. He tries to bring them up. He tries to encourage you in your sinful nature. And you're like, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to do that anymore. And then there's where the faith kicks in. I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm in Jesus now. But we need friends to encourage us, to come along and say, hey, Rob, you don't have to do that anymore. I remember when I quit smoking. I smoked 2 to 3 packs of cigarettes a day when I was younger. And the Lord come, I came to the altar here, and I asked him to forgive me and take it away. And when I got up the next day, I went to reach for a cigarette, and the Holy Spirit came and he said, you don't have to do that anymore. You've been set free. I'm like, I started crying, Don Maurice. I'm like, oh my gosh, I've been set free. I'm not smoking ever again. And I threw my cigarettes out and I never smoked again. It's just a miraculous thing. God spoke to me. But you know, we need to be able to say, hey, you're free, man. You don't have to do this anymore. You're okay. I am. Yeah, we need that encouragement, amen. We need each other. We need friends, amen, Robert? We need somebody that will just stand with us. You got a wonderful bride and a wonderful wife and a beautiful family standing with you. And it just makes a difference, amen? We need that in the body of Christ. Friends matter so much. And then lastly, I think I'm done with friends there. We're not meant to be alone. God looked and he said, it's not good that man be alone. Now I'm not talking about getting married. I'm talking about being a friend. That you need to show yourself friendly to people. You need to step out, you know. Delonda's very shy. I'll just tell you that right now. She is very shy. Always has been all her life. And me, I've always been an outgoing person, but I never talked a lot until I got in touch with the Lord. Then he kind of woke my spirit up, and then I was just filled with words about Jesus. But even still, if we sit and we have a conversation, it'd probably be short because I don't talk a lot. But we step out of ourselves to reach out, to love people, because that's what we need. You need it too. We're not meant to be alone. And if you're alone right now in life, I want to encourage you to start showing yourself to be friendly. What is happening in America today is there's people that are trying to, well, the enemy, I don't even want to say people, I'm not going to put it on people. The enemy's trying to separate us again, trying to separate races, trying to separate the sexes, trying to separate denominations, trying to separate the church from the state, the church from the world. You know, there's a big move of separation right now that the enemy's laid down to try and get us to not reach out to each other. That's why I am so involved with In Christ United to bring our churches together. That's why we had 5 churches doing baptism here at the end of January. We're going to do it at the end of April too. We need to come together, amen. We're going to do the National Day of Prayer here at our church with a bunch of churches because we can't have division in the body of Christ, amen. There can't be anything, there can't be people you hate. Yeah, a few amens. There can't be people you hate. Our battle's not against flesh and blood, amen? It's against principalities and powers in dark places, so there can't be people you hate. We had a staff retreat when Pat Sparrow was here, and Delonda and I wanted to give the staff something. We wanted to give them a gift bag, but we wanted to be very intentional about what we gave them. So this is what we gave the staff in a bag. We gave them lifesavers, a candle, socks, tissues, chapstick, hand sanitizer, a bag of Jelly Bellies, lotion, and a coffee mug. But every one of them has purpose. We gave them lifesavers to remind them that they're in the business of saving lives. That's the kingdom. to save people. We gave them a candle to remind them that they are the light of the world. We gave them socks to remind them that they're to walk in the gospel of peace. We gave them tissues to remind them they are to mourn with those who mourn. We gave them chapstick to remind them that a soft answer turns away anger. We gave them hand sanitizer to remind us that we need to have clean hands and a pure heart. We gave them the jelly bellies, many flavors, to remind us of the truth that we are to love all people of every race and color. We are to love them. Now, when Delonda ate her bag of jelly bellies, she picked the coffee ones out. She hates coffee. Never drank coffee. So she picked all the coffee ones out. And then she said, "Hey, Rondi, would you like some jelly bellies?" I said, "Absolutely." And she gave me everything she didn't like. I tell you, man, everything just turns into a smoothie, honey. But she gave them to me, and I like it, so I ate them all. That's why we need each other. That's why we need each other. Because sometimes, you know, there's things I can't help you with. You know, you might be going through some financial things that you need a good financial person. You might be going through, you know, a relationship thing that you really need some in-depth counseling. You know, you need prayer. I'll pray for you till the cows come home. But you know, we're a body of Christ. You need a hug. You want to go to my wife. I'll give you a little tap-tap, you know. Delonda, she'll just... And she'll love you. But we're a body, and we need each other. It's not good that we be alone. It's not good that we separate ourselves from the herd. I've told you about the lions in Africa. We saw the lions in Africa. Man, when we went to Africa in January, they took us to see the lions. And it was like a pride of lions. There were 8 lions we saw. And they were just laying in the grass. And it was like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. But you know how the lions hunt, right? The big male lion walks out front of the herd and he makes a lot of noise. And he waits for that one to scatter. "Oh, nobody likes you at that church. You probably ought to not go." And you scatter. And that's when the lionesses pounce on you and eat you and devour you. And that's what happens in the church. We start feeling like, no, nobody likes me. They're not going to go. You know what's funny is everybody expects us to call you when you don't come. That's not biblical. The biblical thing is James said, "Hey, when you're struggling, you call the elders and you tell them and let them pray for you." That's biblical. Now, we do call you or we text you or Facebook, whatever, however we get a hold of you. But biblically, if you're going through something, you're supposed to call us. "Hey, I'm going through something." We need each other, amen? And we need to be able to encourage and build each other up. We need to be able to step out. We need to be able to realize that, hey, we're just a bunch of jelly bellies. We're all different, but we're all good. Oh, and we gave them hand lotion to remind us that to have a soft and healing touch for people. And we gave them a coffee mug to remind us to let our cups be full, that we need to minister out of an overflow of what God is doing in our lives. That's why when I get up here, I'm always excited, man, because I'm excited about what God's doing in my life all the time. People used to tell me when I'm younger, they're like, "You better slow down, Ron, or you're going to burn out." I don't see burnout in the Bible with people that connect with Jesus. You will not burn out, burn up if you connect with the Lord and serve and do what he's called you to do. So we want to be in God's plan, amen? Those 4 friends were filled with faith to believe for healing for their friend. What about you? Are you filled with faith to believe for the healing of your friend? Proverbs 17:17 says, "Friends love through all kinds of weather, and families stick together in all kinds of trouble." Friends love through all kinds of weather. Their friend not only got healed, but he received the forgiveness of sins. As a friend, we need to look past what people are going through. And we need to work at bringing them to a place of victory, a place of peace, a place of rest in Jesus. I know what happened to me when I met Jesus. I was in this very building, and I know what God's done in my life. I know the things that he has cut off of me, the junk that he's just destroyed back to the pit of hell. I know what he's done in me. I know where he's brought me from. I haven't always been a pastor. Sorry. But maybe you're here today and you say, you know what, I need a friend like Jesus today. Maybe that's your starting point today. I need to just get in with God today. I need to just make that commitment to Jesus. I'm not even going to ask you to close your eyes, bow your heads. If you need to just get with God today, just stand up right now. It's real simple. Just stand up. That'll be the sign to God that you're serious. Just stand up right now. You know you need to get right with God today. Just stand to your feet right now. Amen, 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 amen. Anybody else? Why don't we pray with them? Why don't everybody repeat this prayer after me? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. That he died for me and he rose from the dead. Jesus, wash me today in the power of your blood. Cleanse me of everything unrighteous. Forgive me of my sins. Make me whole today. Be my Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a big clap, huh?